GHRT Rewinds are brought to you by Laughlin and Wolfington Realty. Mike and Nate and Harrison teaming up to help you sell your home faster and for top dollar.
Turning our attention again to matters in Augusta and word of majority Democrats looking to push through a majority budget. George, broadcasting from Florida, you're on the PDQ Door telephone line with State Senator Jeff Timberlake, the Republican of Turner now on the George Hale, Rick Tyler Show.
Good morning, Jeff. One more time, we go down this political trail. How are you this morning?
I'm doing well, George. And you?
Oh, just terrific. Looking at the fight going on, and I call it a fight, may I put it in quotes in Augusta. Republicans are not happy. The Democrats have a budget plan that they've called incomplete. It's a two-year budget plan, could be pushed through by votes by the Democrats only. We'll get to that in a minute. I know you're not happy with it, and there's a lot of things that maybe some Democrats are not happy about it. This is what happens when you have control by one party instead of divided government. These things can happen. So let's take it step by step here this morning. We've got an $8.3 billion budget to do. We've got some dates that have to be met. Are the Democrats going to get this budget through without Republican support?
I believe they have the votes to pass it with a majority budget, but I don't think they'll have any Republican support, no.
There's a lot of reasons why we've got, I mentioned dates. The Democrats are, you know, talking about June 30th. There's a March 31st date. Let's go down to the things that really I believe that you're not happy with. You're the Senate Minority Leader. The budget proposal, I use the term incomplete. I think you have.
Well, I have used it incomplete, but more importantly, George, Saul Millett, who is probably in the budget world, is probably as well known and probably as respected as you are in the radio world. You know, Saul, when Saul Millett stands up and rails about how incomplete and how many holes that are in this budget, you know, there must be a problem, because the guy deserves the respect of the people of the state of Maine, because he's been DAS commissioner, he's been in all these positions, and Solomon is a fair and honest man. And when Representative Millett says this, people need to pay attention and listen, just like they do when you talk about what you've done in the past on radio.
Well, I've worked for Solomon for many years. He is an outstanding man. The budget appears on the surface not to have a provision that Republicans really wanted. And we were talking about the $10,200 tax credit for filers who would, I would mirror, I guess, the relief of the federal budget. Tell me about what's missing here.
Well, you know, one of the things we had proposed, you know, we were going to go, let's step back to the beginning, as you said. This Wednesday, yesterday, we were supposed to be meeting with our leads on the committees to create what we call what the Republicans desires were to have in the upcoming budget. Instead, our meeting yesterday morning got turned into what is going on and what is happening in Augusta. Nothing good is going to come out of this. You know, one of the things that we had said when we did the supplemental budget, which was $250 million, we said, well, if we're going to give a $10,200 tax credit to those that have been on unemployment and unemployed, then when we do the biennial budget, we need to give that $10,200 CAT tax credit to all the essential workers in the state of Maine that had been working through all this pandemic and doing their job. Because let's face it, George, there is a windfall of money probably coming into the state of Maine in the tones of over $1 billion. And let's not talk about the other, you know, person in the room, and that's the what's going to be left over in the state of Maine's budget. We're running about a $268 million surplus today. I suspect by May, when the Revenue Forecasting Committee comes out, we're going to be somewhere in the tones of $300 to $450 million of excess revenue in the state of Maine that's going to be spent. This is a way, let's say it as it is, they pass the majority budget, they get to pass all spending bills from here on after with just a majority vote. They don't have to negotiate with us to how any of that money gets spent. None of that is to happen. That's their choice, And I don't think that's good governance. In the last 70 years in the state of Maine, and I went back to the law library, got me this information, there has been only two biennial budgets passed by a majority. Both were done by the Democrats. And the last one was done, if you remember, George, was done when Angus King was there, when we got another stimulus money out of government to bail out the state of Maine, and they bought the laptop computer program. And they did that because they didn't want import from the Republicans on that. So, you know, this is not good governance. You know, Newton said, theory of motion is, for every action, there's an opposite and equal reaction, and there will be a reaction, I feel confident.
Well, we keep hearing from the Democrats, this is a back-to-basics proposal, and they say it's kind of based on the bipartisan budget of 2019, we keep talking about the dates I mentioned, the dates of June 30th, so that we don't have any cliffhanging showdowns of shutting the government down. Is that a red herring?
Malarkey. You know, that's not, that budgets have been done for the last 100 years in the state of Maine. The system was set up so that budgets would be done with a 2/3 majority. That's the way it was designed. That's the way it's supposed to be done. And they want to take that away so that we don't have a say on how they get to spend their money into the future. You know, we have only done this twice in our entire time. You know, what they're saying is you can't trust Republicans to work with us. Now, we've worked with them. We got the supplemental done. You've been around this building long enough to know that when you are doing budget cycles, they're always done to the end of the cycle. When it comes push come to shove, everybody comes to the table and we meet. You know, they're saying that they don't trust us. I don't think that's working in very good faith to say that up front. And that's what Senator Breen has said in her comments. You know, we can't have cliffhangers. Well, that's saying, in another tone, you can say that's saying we don't trust them.
Well, to get past the budget without any Republican support, the legislature would have to do this by the end of this month. It's coming close. That would give the 90 days for the Constitution to kick in before June 30th. You're going to meet next week. It's coming to a crescendo. I guess you're meeting in Augusta. Did you catch Bill Diamond's comments this morning?
Yes, I did. And I think Bill Diamond more or less agrees with me.
I didn't hear the actual statement by Mr. Diamond, but my understanding is that he more or less did come down on your side.
Well, you know, Bill is a statesman just like Saul Millett and Paul Davis are. And, you know, in not saying not everybody in the Senate is not statesmen and stateswomen, but it's the truth. But, you know, these guys have been around a long time and seen a lot of things happen. And Senator Diamond, who I consider a good friend, and I respect, and I do respect the bill that he's put forward, and I will try to help him with that, to be truthful. But that being said, you know, Senator Diamond said this is not the right thing to do. This is not the right thing. This is not good governance. At the end of the day, George, you know, and I don't think you can even argue with me, this is not good governance. When you adjourn the legislature and then come back in, the governor's going to have to call us back in, and we're going to have to go on the special session, and we're going to have to, everything, it's just, nobody wants to work together well then, because nobody has a need to, because when you're normally working this cycle, in order to get 2/3, you have to work together, and you collaborate, and you negotiate, and you come up with a plan at the end of how you work. And that's going to take that out of it, because you know, you're not going to have to negotiate for anything. They don't have to give us anything to get what they want because they're in the majority. And, you know, it may sound like I'm whining, but I'm not whining. You know, I'm like the ball team that's losing. I'm going to go out on the field. I'm going to play the game, and I'm going to play the game as hard as I can, and I'm going to do my job, and I'm going to represent the people of my district. But 500,000, more than 500,000 Mainers are not being represented in this budget. That's not fair. Almost 48%, 49% of the people in the state of Maine are not being represented with a majority budget. That's not right. And I don't think you can disagree with that.
Again, I'll go back to what I said in the beginning. I always felt that divided government was better government, but we don't always get it that way. the $1 billion in new federal pandemic aid is hanging over all of this. And in a one-page report, it doesn't mention it.
No, they don't. They also don't mention in the one-page report the $268 million that's setting in, you know, that's setting in surplus right now. They don't mention that in the one-page report. A budget document, as you know as well as I do, runs somewhere between 550 to 650 pages. And they've taken that down to one page. And then they say, well, you're voting on about the same thing. No, we're not. We voted on a $2.99 billion budget last time. This is a $8.34 billion budget this time. It's about a $400 million increase. It's not a back-to-the-basics budget. I don't know. It's as Representative Dillingham said, it looks pretty much like a scam, and it's a way for them to get their way and move on, and that's the way it goes.
Well, it's politics as usual. Sometimes that's disappointing. The Appropriations Committee will be taking votes pretty quick here, starting, I guess, a work session today. And the full legislature will meet Tuesday at the Augusta Civic Center. Some fireworks between now and then, or will it go quietly?
I think we've made our statement, and we'll continue to fight for what's right. But this is not politics as usual, George. I disagree with what you said there. This is not politics as usual. Politics as usual would be that we would go through with a bipartisan two-thirds budget. That's what's been done for over 100 years now, except for twice, both done by the Democrats. And I don't think this is politics as usual. So I think this is a bad play, and it's bad for the people of Maine. And I will stand by those words this day, because I think every person in that building really wants to represent the people of Maine. And I hope that what Senator Davis said to Troy Jackson was that, remember, this is going to be part of your legacy. Do you want this to be what's part of your legacy? And I'm concerned that by shutting off almost half the people of the state of Maine, it's not a good legacy that I would want on my report card.
GHRT Rewinds, brought to you by your hometown real estate team, Laughlin and Wolfington Realty. Thinking about selling your home? Call 629-9211 and start packing.